was that all about?
I thought I saw Elvis.
Let it go, Topper. The king is gone. Let's head for home.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Let it go, Rob. The king is gone.
What? LeBron got traded?
We're trading Glassy Hayward for the king there.
Oh, God.
We're going to talk about Gordon Hayward, but not right now.
Glassy Gordon.
I'm not going to miss him. Thanks for coming. What are we talking about today, Rob? I don't know. By vote of the fans. We let the fans choose. And what did the fans decide? Do we trust their judgment? It's somewhat sketchy.
Yeah, they wanted us to do Ishtar over.
Ryan Gosling, every part. It's a think piece.
I think they wanted us to recast the Ten Commandments, but it cut it down to five.
Let my people go. No, it's Nick and Rob. Recast, reboot the movies. Three Men and a Baby, as chosen by the listeners. You're welcome, America. Play the music.
East to West with Nick and Rob. Recast, reboot the movies.
East to West with Nick and Rob. Recast, reboot your favorites. I think The Godfather. Do The Godfather.
Take the cannoli.
Yeah, leave the gun. Though. Just leave the gun. Leave it behind. Grab the cannolis because they're good. They taste good. The gun's a murder weapon.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Motioning Xia. Don't react so well. Go watch. Too many jokers.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
All right. This is a tough one, Rob. I don't even know if you like this movie, because I know I like it. I enjoy it. I like these three actors. I like Leonard Nimoy. I enjoyed this movie. I grew up with this movie. I had the VHS.
VHS. For our younger listeners, that was a big boxy rectangle type tape that you would put into this gigantic machine that at one time cost $800.
Fuck them. You don't have to explain that to them. Let them Google that shit. Make them do some work. It's a good movie. Come on. This is an enjoyable ride. It's a pleasant sort of soft comedy. Touches the heart a little bit. It's got a decent message. I don't know. I thought it was fine. It was a good rewatch for me.
Script is fine.
By the way, James Orr writes a script. I did not pick a new writer. I don't know if you did, but James Orr, do you know what else he wrote, just for shouts?
What did he write?
Mr. Destiny, another movie we recast, rebooted. So shouts, James Orr. It's based on a French film, but he did the rework on it.
No offense, Mr. Orr. We are not just targeting you.
All James Orr films.
Well, I have to say that this movie is very dated. Very dated.
Yeah. I mean, the mustache alone.
Hey, that mustache is legendary.
It is legendary. I feel pretty good. How many parts? How deep did you go? I went five that I care about, and I've got thugs if you want me to do thugs.
I've got the thugs. Okay. I've got the cop.
I thought about the cop. I have a thought. I don't know if it's the same guy as you.
So basically, I have...
Peter, Michael, Jack.
I have those guys. I have Mrs. Holden. I have Sylvia.
Sylvia, of course. Yep. The lovely Nancy Travis, by the way.
I've got Sergeant Milkovitz.
I didn't go with that guy. I have an idea, though, if you really wanted me to attack it. Rebecca is the part that I sort of liked.
I have my thugs.
Okay. I've got two people on the list here.
I did not cast Rebecca.
Oh, you didn't go Rebecca? That's an important part. I always thought that was Stockard Channing, but it's...
Yeah, her name is Margaret Colan.
Yeah, I've seen her in a bunch of stuff, actually. She's really good.
I have bit parts. I have my...
Cameos.
Cameo. So let's get right into this.
So do you want to take it from bottom to top or top to bottom? Because we've done it a couple different ways here.
Sure. Well, let me do my cameos first.
All right. Let's go with the small folks, the bit players.
Okay. The drug dealer director. All right.
All right.
I went with, for this part and this part only, Seth Rogen as the drug dealer.
I'm not even going to argue that. That's brilliant casting. I dig that.
Don't forget, in The Disaster Artist, he was the director.
He was the director, yeah. He was great at it.
And I take it you don't have Mrs. Hathaway.
I didn't cast anybody in mind. I certainly could think of somebody. Obviously, Stockard Channing would be a great casting call there. But no, I don't think it's that relevant. But give me who you got.
Stockard Channing will be very old for that part right now.
She would, yeah. Yeah, I don't like to think about people's real ages.
So I went with Julie Bowen.
From Modern Family. Yeah, all right. I'll buy that. That's actually a pretty good call there. I do like the way that would fit. It depends on the rest of the cast, but yeah, all right. I dig it.
Well, you're going to hate my cast anyway, so I'm going for the money.
Yeah, as usual, Uncle Bookie always goes for the money.
Isn't that what I was supposed to do?
We never really allocated the rules of this game, so I go for what the heart tells me to go for. No, actually, I went for the money a little bit. I think you're not going to totally hate my cast, if you can believe that.
Okay, who's your director?
So my director, I had to think about this for a while because Leonard Nimoy, at this point in his career, I think he had done a Star Trek movie and one or two other films, but this was his first sort of like blockbuster-ish type release. This was kind of a trendy film back in 1987. So I was trying to think like who could carry the comic tone that I want in this movie. My movie's going to be maybe a little PG-13-ier than what the 1987 sort of cushy comedy was. So I thought about it quite a bit, and I came up with Kevin Smith. And I know that sounds sort of weird and off the wall, but I did want a tiny bit more language in my film, and I liked the way some of the movies he edited, the way they came out. The Ben Affleck film Jersey Girl was actually super, super cute, and I don't know why, but the tone of that film matches what I have here with the rest of the cast. So it sounds kind of weird, but just let me go and then tell me at the end if you totally hate Kevin Smith as the director here.
Does that mean that Jason Mewes is in this cast?
Oh, he's definitely going to be there. He's one of my thugs.
All right. I went with a guy that is gold when he acts.
Dollar bills. Oh, he's multi-talented.
My director is going to be Tom Hanks.
There's no crying in baseball.
Oh, you went with Hanks. Do you think Hanks would do this?
With my cast, he would.
All right, so I'll wait to criticize then until we get to the cast. It's hard to know. Hanks did That Thing You Do, and again, that tone is awfully charming. I would not hate Hanks to direct my movie with the cast that I have here either.
We may have to have them in a death match, Kevin Smith and Tom Hanks.
You doing that thing you do. By the way, I recently rewatched the end of that movie. That movie gets a little dark at the end, too.
Oh, yeah, it's very dark.
Yeah, that's a good film, though. Yeah. I do appreciate it.
You know what, though, Nick? I am Spartacus.
All right, let's get into these folks here. Who do you want to start with?
All right, so you still want to work backwards?
Yeah, let's go with the thugs.
Okay, the original thugs were Paul Guilfoyle.
Guilfoyle, yeah, he's been around. He's great in Spotlight, by the way, shouts.
He's from Boston.
He is a Boston
CSI.
Actor. Yep, correct. Yep. He was in CSI, yep.
He was in Celtic Pride, too.
Was he in Celtic Pride? I vaguely remember. I don't know if I got to think about it a little bit.
He was the police officer in Celtic Pride.
By the way, Dave Foley was in the original. Did you remember that? I did not remember that.
I saw Dave Foley in this. It was like very brief.
Yeah, he's super quick. He's a grocery store guy there. Yeah, Colin, but he's super, super young.
And Colin Quinn's in this too.
Colin Quinn, that is correct. He's got a brief part too. Yeah, shouts. Right, good cast.
So my Vince is going to be played by Kevin Corrigan.
Ah, okay. All right. All right. I'm okay with it.
He always plays a thug.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. My Vince is Bill Burr. Who wins that fight?
So you go with kind of like a Breaking Bad Bill Burr.
I got Kevin Smith as the director. My thugs are Bill Burr and Jason Mewes.
Okay.
That's a winner.
My other thug is actually another comedian who could play a thug.
All right.
Harland Williams.
Oh, you know what? I do like that. I do appreciate that cast call. All right. I'll buy that. That's a pretty good duo. Works as a team more so than the individual. I agree. I like that. That's cool. I do appreciate this movie, the darkness of the movie where they put the cocaine in the little baby thing. Like, it does get a little wonky there.
Yeah, my thugs are like a pick, like a George and Lenny, you know.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Yeah, I think that does work. As a duo, I appreciate it. All right, so both of those work out. We're not going to fight yet.
Okay. Now, do you have your Sergeant Malkovich, the cop?
So I wanted Michael Keaton. I don't think he would do it, but that's who I would definitely want. If not him, I still think Ed O'Neill is just young enough to pull that part off.
Actually, I'm going with someone younger. I'm going with a guy who's played a cop in numerous things.
Remember, the original guy here is super charming, and he's sort of like pro-kids, you know? He's super cute with the baby and stuff. So you need somebody that, if you're going to stay true to the original anyway.
Right. That's why I picked Bill Hader.
Oh, I like that. That's a strong pick. All right. Yeah, I'm not fighting that one. Bill Hader as the cop? Yeah, I do appreciate that. Okay, Malkovich. Yeah, I could see that. Barry as Malkovich. I'm okay with it.
All right. We're going to save Sylvia.
Yeah, I think you're going to love my Sylvia. So what about Rebecca?
That's your pick.
You don't want to do a Rebecca at all?
No,
okay, now it's going to make sense. I feel like this one's going to shock you a little bit, but I do really appreciate my Rebecca pick. My Rebecca pick, if you remember, and I had two people really, really close here, and I went with the one that I like just a tiny, tiny bit more, and I've seen just a tiny bit less. Deadpool, Domino, Zazie Beetz. She's also in The Joker. I think she's my Rebecca. You got to be kind of a party girl, but you have to sort of been around the block a couple times and appreciate what's going on with these three knucklehead guys. And I think Zazie Beetz has the right tone, the right face, and I'd like to see her do that part. I did almost go Zoe Kravitz, but I've seen just a lot of her lately, and I think Zazie Beetz could really nail this part.
So Rebecca is the one who dates Peter, correct?
Yeah, they're sort of like on and off again relationship, and she's got the other boyfriend, and she's sort of like rolling her eyes at how funny the whole circumstance of it all is. So I think it's somewhat of a crucial part, as you pointed out, played by Margaret Collin, who has all the great facial expressions. And I think you need someone sort of that can pull that off. And I kind of feel like Zazie Beetz could do it.
Okay, that's no argument from me.
All right, very good. So look at this. We're doing all right. So far, no fights.
I did cast the baby.
Okay, I'll allow it.
I wrote down some twins.
Oh, it's got to be twins. All babies are twins. And then something 18 years later, one of them really goes off the rails after their fashion empire crashes.
Well, America, you're welcome.
You're welcome. There you go. Good job. All right, let's do Sylvia then. You want to do Sylvia?
Ooh, Sylvia.
Let's do it before we do the guys, because the guys are going to be tough.
Okay, my Sylvia, because she's an actress, or trying to be an actress.
Okay.
I went with someone who
you
was trying
to be an actress. You say Miley Cyrus, we're going to have some problems.
No.
Okay.
I went with someone who was trying to be an actress.
Okay.
On a TV show that she was on.
Okay.
And I went with Kaley Coco.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. You know what? It's not something that I'm going to the mattresses for. I maybe don't love it. Big Bang Theory? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know that I've seen her do. I don't want. It depends who your guys are. Is this more goofball or not? But I don't totally hate it. Mine is Erin Moriarty from The Boys.
Huh.
A little fragile. Remember Nancy Travis, the lovely Nancy Travis? She played a little fragile there. Now, in the sequel, she gets a little more stuff to do. But in this one, it's a little more in the background. And I think Moriarty could really be sort of a little bit sympathetic character, but also kind of go toe-to-toe if we get sequels out of this thing.
Nancy Travis did a ton of horror movies, by the way.
She
also.
Did, yeah. Yeah, I always loved her, actually. Great late 80s, early 90s actress.
All right, let's get into the dudes.
This is tough. This is where we make our money. This is a make or break these movies.
Let's
it is called
it
Three
now.
Men and a Baby. And by the way, we just have to say, I can't remember what studio has greenlit this thing, but there is already one in the works. And as usual with our listeners, they throw out a movie like Clue or something. And yeah, it seems really intriguing, but Hollywood has already jumped on us and they have started casting this thing. So there's at least one person cast in this movie, and we'll get to that. But there is a remake in the works, so maybe you'll see this come to fruition here soon.
Okay. So let's break down the characters first.
We got Peter. Yeah,
Tom Selleck played him, and Peter was an architect.
He was an architect, and by the way, as usual with these things, and we have to get into it at some point because we're never going to recast, reboot Friends. When you have like one guy that's super successful, one guy that's quasi successful, and one guy that's just skimming for work, living in the greatest apartment of all time in some like luxurious city, I always want to do the math on their bills. How do the bills work out every month, guys? That's what I want to know.
Just remember, he did offer Michael $1,000 to change the diaper.
Listen, I don't know, you haven't seen me in a while. I say this line constantly, especially at work. Somebody comes into my office and they ask me to do something, and I always say, I'll give you $1,000 if you'll do it. Nobody knows really where that line comes from. It's because I've seen this movie 100 times. This is the movie where that line comes from. So if you know me, that's exactly where I get that line from. I love that fucking line. It's okay, great writing.
So Michael is the artist, the artiste.
Goober, and you know how they open the movie with sort of like he's drawing on the walls and shit? It's a little bit goofy, but in the time capsule that it was, all right, it's fine.
They play that entire song by a Miami Sound Machine.
Bad, 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 bad boys. Gloria Stefan. I mean, unbelievable stuff, right? I like the soundtrack.
No, because Peter Cetera ruined music in the 80s.
Did it all for the glory of love.
He is the single reason why Chicago failed in the 80s.
Did they fail? They sold a lot of records.
Failed in the 80s.
All right.
Their record sales went plummeting.
I don't really go to the mattresses for Peter Cetera. It's not like Phil Collins versus Peter Gabriel. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's two totally different things going on there.
And of course, Jack Holden, played by Ted Danson, and he was the actor.
Yeah, and ironically, like when you watch this thing, he's missing for a good like 45-50% of the movie, which is kind of weird. I always forget that.
He's in Istanbul. Oh, no, Constantinople.
Constantinople. I would say whatever. So, yeah, these are three crucial parts. And by the way, casting is everything. And they really nailed the casting here. Tom Selleck's demeanor is perfect for the role that he plays. Gutenberg's demeanor, perfect. Obviously, Police Academy. I was always wondering why Gutenberg didn't end up being a bigger guy. He seemed like he could do other stuff. He should have been like a Ghostbuster or something. I don't totally get it. And Ted Danson as sort of the actor, handsome guy who ends up being the father of the baby. Like, yeah, I think it all sort of works. The three guys, they just nailed that stuff.
First appearance of the hairpiece, I believe, in this movie, too.
Is that right? Yeah, all right. Best part of Cheers. Best episode of Cheers when he takes it off.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
All right, so let's cast Jack, because Jack has the least screen time.
Jack is my easy one, and I sort of did a cop-out here, because we had talked about it prior to recording the segment, and, you know, after some research, we figured out, look, they're already doing this thing, and Zac Efron is cast. I had a different person in mind for this role, but given where they are right now recasting the movie, we can't just ignore that it's happening. I just let Zac Efron be my Jack. I actually think, like, with the rest of my cast here, I think he could do it. I don't love that. It wouldn't be who I cast, but I'm okay with it. So for my pick, I'll stay with Zac Efron.
Oh, you cop out.
I chicken shit it out.
My Jack, and you're going to love this, Channing Tatum.
Come on. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. He can't sing that. Come on.
I'm telling you, it's perfect, because you don't like him, and you don't have to watch him for 40% of the movie.
Yeah, you know what? That's a pretty good argument. You nailed the argument, at least. It's all about the chemistry of the three guys. One guy does not make the movie. So who is Michael? Who's your Michael?
My Michael is John Cho.
Oh, I don't hate that. That's kind of cool. I sort of dig that. All right.
I'm going for diversity in this.
I went a little bit weird, too. I went Kamal Nanjiani from Silicon Valley. Ooh. I just think, like, I need the three to work well together, and I feel like he could be that sort of artist part, that Steve Gutenberg goofy part. And having known the sequel, and actually kind of like the sequel, I think his character could grow also in a way that would work. I just think he fits the bill there.
I just picture John Cho doing the same exact stuff that Steve Gutenberg did.
Yeah, yeah, they're kind of the same, like, they're same movements and shit. Yeah, I buy that. I actually kind of like that. So far, I'm into it. Now, him next to Channing Tatum, I'll have to see if that works, chemistry-wise.
Tell you it's going to work.
All right. We haven't seen Tatum in a while, by the way. It's been a minute since he's been in a movie. What's going on there? Practicing his dance moves?
I think he is.
All right.
Imagine Mike 3.
Hey, listen, I like the first one. Second one had problems.
Second one was fun. Well, except for Michael Strahan dancing. But
yeah, that guy, it got weird. Things got weird. He had too many cameos going on.
All right. Who is your Peter Mitchell?
All right, so I did struggle here. I did struggle. I tried to think of the mustache, and I just let it go ultimately. And after kicking the tires on 3-4 different folks, Adonis Creed, Michael B. Jordan, and before you poo-poo it, I think the chemistry between Michael B. Jordan and Nanjiani and Zac Efron, I do think there's some funniness to be had there. And if I wrote the movie, I sort of know how I would play it. He's sort of like the alpha. He's also sort of straight man, but he also has like the funniest lines. You know, Michael B. Jordan trying to put the diaper on, I think is going to totally work. I think it's going to be comedy gold. Ultra absorbent, Rob.
I still don't understand the cotton balls, but
yeah, way too many fucking cotton balls. First of all, open the bag cleaner. Don't just rip the whole bag open. What's the matter with you? Come on, we're not animals.
My Peter is the one, the only, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, I had a funny feeling you were going to go here. I could almost feel it in my bones when you were like, Nick, you're not going to like my cast. I'm like, you know, it's the fucking Rock, I bet. So you've got The Rock, John Cho, and who else?
Yep. And Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. That sounds like a tag team at SummerSlam, not the cast of Three Men and a Baby.
I am telling you, just think about them together and then put a baby in the mix.
Didn't he do like the pacifier? Oh, that was Vin Diesel. The babysitter? The tooth fairy.
The babysitter was
Jonah Hill. It's Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
I'll watch your movie. I'm going to pay the money and go see this movie or stream it on whatever premium service is going on. I feel like my chemistry is better than your chemistry. That's all I'll say. I'll lay it out there.
My director is better than your director.
Your director is better. I'll grant you that. If he even says, yeah, Tom Hanks directing The Rock, it just doesn't sound right.
They were going to run for president.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. I definitely would have voted for that ticket. Sign me up for that.
All right, so Mrs. Holden.
Mrs. Holden, yeah.
Final part.
It is a crucial part.
I'm just going to go out and just tell you who I have.
Yeah, go ahead. Let me have it.
You ready?
Yeah.
Drop the mic before I even say it. Christine Baranski.
Oh, it's Jack's mom, right? And your Jack was Channing Tatum. So Christine Baranski and Channing Tatum. All right. I'll allow it.
These guys are in their 40s.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to picture it a little bit. I'm sort of okay with it. Yeah, I think for me, so Zac Efron is my Jack, so it's a little bit complicated. I think that there's a few people that I would like, but I'm going to lean toward Marissa Tomei. I sort of like the vibe of those two, and she did Aunt May in the Spider-Man movies. And, you know, there's not that much good in those Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland, but I do really like her, and she doesn't get to do enough comedy. She came up and won the Academy Award with My Cousin Vinny, but hasn't done a ton of comedies. I think she needs some more comedy stuff, and I think she could deliver the few lines that she gets in this movie expertly, and I think it would just work out. Plus, she comes with a little bit of clout, so.
Yeah, Nick, your cast blends.
It's good! I'm telling you! It works! Listen, I really didn't want Zac Efron. There were a few other guys I wanted there, but I can't cast Ryan Gosling in everything.
Oh, God. You want to cast Ryan Gosling and everything. Notice I did not put...
You wanted to put Anna Kendrick in, though. I know you wanted to.
Yeah, she was going to play Peter Mitchell.
She's my Michael. She'll always be my Michael. All right, so there you have it. What do you think? What's the box office of mine versus yours? Mine's not a dud, but maybe yours makes a little more money because you got The Rock.
Yours is going to go direct to video.
Oh, come on. Give me more credit. Maybe my breakfast at Tiffany's goes direct to video.
Okay. All right. It's going to go to the $5 bin at Walmart.
You know what? There's a lot of good movies in that bin. No disrespect. All right. Well, there you have it. Nick and Rob, recast, reboot, Three Men and a Baby. You're welcome, America.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let me ask you this, Rob, real quick before we move on. There's going to be a new Pink Panther. In my research for Three Men and a Baby, I did read that. Who would you cast as Inspector Clouseau?
Inspector Clouseau.
Tough one. Steve Martin was okay. He was somewhat watchable, but it wasn't good like Peter Sellers.
Okay. The odds on would be to cast Jim Carrey in it.
Yeah, I could see that, though. I don't actually hate that move, but yeah, you're right. It's too predictable.
Maybe someone who's on the same comedic wavelength as him, someone that's out there that acts.
I'm not sure who that is, really. He's kind of on his own island, and no one really sort of does that anymore.
Jack Black. I'd put him in there.
I don't hate that either. I don't totally hate that either. Yeah, I don't really know who could do it. If he was a little bit younger, I might say give Robert Downey Jr. a shot at it. I think he's a little past that.
Jack Black would make a perfect Inspector Gadget.
He would be great as Inspector Gadget. Yeah, shouts there. Yeah, I sort of like that. Paul Rudd. You don't think Paul Rudd could do it?
Paul Rudd, that would actually, you know what?
It might work. I don't know if it would totally work, but I'd give it a shot, right? You'd at least give him a chance at it.
Well, what's his name? Zach
Galifianakis?
No. The other, Braff.
Oh, Zach Braff? You know what? I might give that one a shot, too. Zach Braff, he's got a director's eye. Obviously, he's made some really, really beautiful movies. The one that worked and one that didn't work so well. But yeah, Zach Braff could do it. I could see that, too. I'd give that one a chance, too. That's going to be tough for Hollywood. I'm interested to see how that pans out.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what, though, Nick? People gave us this idea to do this recast. So
we give the people what they want on E2W.
Do we give them what they want? And if you like us, we would love you to rate us.
If you're going to rate us, Apple, iTunes, please rate us.
And if you love us, refer us to a friend.
If I had friends, I wouldn't be doing a podcast.
Exactly. Let's take a break and have a little word from our sponsor.
Anchor.
Let me ask you something. What do you do for a living, Newman?
I'm a United States postal worker.
And we are back.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
Oh, it's time to talk about some football.
Foosball. Play the music.
I also like to take this opportunity to tell you that my mama don't know I play football. So if you could not tell my mama I play football, that would be for the best.
Everywhere I turn, it's football.
All right. Last week in the NFL was an interesting week, I would say. There was some things that we learned, the Drew Brees injury was somewhat taken aback by that. There was some confusion over how bad that was and how long he's going to be out. I'm still sort of wondering. You had the Hail Murray, which is now trying to be copyrighted, so I don't totally understand that one, but at least it was an interesting play. What did you think about the Bills-Cardinals game? I thought the Bills with the Diggs pass, and Josh Allen was throwing very well in that game again for the second time in a row. I thought the Bills had that one in the bag, and then the Cardinals come back. I don't know. I'm still sort of somewhat enamored with Bills versus Patriots. How good are the Bills? How good are the Dolphins? Because I'm an AFC East guy. What do you take out of the Bills sort of blowing that game at the very end?
Okay, the Bills are a team that needs to run more. They definitely
need to run
the ball more.
I agree.
They don't know how to control the time. They just
it's like an Andy Reid situation, right? They don't pay enough attention to the clock. By the way, they did not cover that Hail Mary very well either. Although Murray created the space to get the throw off and it was a beautiful throw, I just feel like they sort of messed that up a bit.
It was very Flutie-esque.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, it was. A little bit of Flutie in there. So what else do we care so much about? The Seahawks and the Rams. Now, I know you were saying the Seahawks were a team that, you know, you like, Super Bowl pick. They bounce back after this loss anyway. But the Rams, they always struggle with the Rams. What happens if Hustle Bustle has to play the Rams in the playoffs? I think they're going to have problems there. Something about the Rams and the Seahawks, that those games are always tight. They're always a little bit ugly. I don't totally get it.
Well, I think with having to play them first, if they play them again, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
So hopefully they learn from their mistakes.
Did you know, because I lost my lock of the week on this game, did you know the weather was going to be that bad in the Pats game? Because I did not see that coming. It was like buckets of rain. You couldn't even see, like, the HD cameras were like, I can't see what's happening here.
I did know it was coming because I live here.
You should have texted me because I put real hard cash on that game and I lost the over. I did have the Patriots, but I also had the over and I was a touchdown away there. So shame on me.
That game was called hard-nosed football.
It was. Yeah, we played pretty well. Were you excited about how we played?
That was a great game. They played well.
Are you a Damian Harris fan now?
I am. He's a good runner.
He's pretty legit, right?
Sweet Feet's going to pick it up though. So
we'll see. I still have somewhat skeptical about how he moved a little bit right to left and his throws were a little bit off. Patriots are one of those teams that cannot play from behind. And there's an awful lot of teams in the NFL that have that problem.
They can't play from behind. I still think his mechanics are way off. They're just way, way, way off.
You talk a lot of shit about Lamar Jackson. And yeah, I think, you know, some of it is very warranted. Certainly Deshaun Watson. Those are two other teams, right? The Texans and the Ravens can't play from behind either. There's quite a few teams in the NFL that just can't do it.
Lamar Jackson is his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
He thinks he has to play every position. He thinks he has to be the guy that does everything. I got news for him. If no one blocks for you and no one's in front of you, one of these days you're going to end up like RG3.
We are recording this after the Thursday night game that happened yesterday. And I did think Kyler Murray, after his Hail Murray play, had chances to beat Seattle and kind of blew it. And he started to look a little bit like Eljax. He was going for a big play when he had a lot of time on the clock and just needed a couple more first downs. So I do think there's maybe they just need a little bit more coaching before they really get it all together. But I'm still a fan. I still like the Ravens. The Thanksgiving game is going to be a treat for me. I will definitely be enjoying that one. So that's really all I have in terms of review. Any other games you wanted to cover, Rob?
No, I think that's it.
You don't want to talk about Tom Brady's 3 touchdowns, 341 yards? Just want to bring it up, throwing it in there.
Whatever, who cares?
Yeah, it was Carolina. I mean, they're not that good. Not that bad, but not that good.
All right, you want to talk about it? Let's talk about this. The week before.
I knew I'd reel you in on that one.
The week before they signed Antonio Brown.
He looked good. This was the first game where he looked legit. He looked pretty good. Come on. Give him some credit.
You need to stop right now because you need to let me finish what I have to say.
Take one step back.
take a couple of steps back.
Okay.
The week before he got signed to Tampa Bay, in his gated community, he flung a chair at a security guard and broke a security camera.
I met a lot of jerky security guards. Maybe it wasn't entirely his fault.
This is his gated community where he lives.
With Channing Tatum, Antonio Brown, and The Rock. That's your tag team.
No. I'm sorry. It wasn't a security guard. It was a delivery guy.
It was a delivery guy. Yeah, that's right. Even worse. Poor delivery guy.
Okay.
So, the NFL is investigating, so I'm sure nothing will happen.
Antonio Brown will probably not be playing with them next week.
First of all, doesn't he live with Tom Brady? I'm confused on the logistics here. Is it Tom Brady ordered some HGH and Antonio Brown got mad at the delivery guy? What happened there?
I don't know. This is before he signed with them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's correct. You're right. Right about that. Let me ask you this one quick question before we move on. Tua versus Justin Herbert. It was at least interesting. I only watched about maybe 20-ish minutes of it, but I flipped back and forth a bit, and I was rooting for the Chargers. I don't know, man. The Dolphins are pretty good. The Chargers are poorly coached, and they have bad game management, but I also think the Dolphins might be good. They might actually, and don't call me crazy here, they might be better than the Bills, like legitimately.
They could be with Tua there now. I mean, he's still got a lot of learning to do. I mean, he was kind of thrown into the fire.
He does, he gets uncomfortable a little bit fast. He needs to have a little more confidence in his offensive line, but that'll come in time, I think.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I did snag a couple of his rookie cards this week, so.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. Stock up, Tua. Here we go. So are you satisfied? We are what? This is week 11 that we're headed into. How do you feel about the COVID NFL season? Any complaints?
It's weird.
It is weird. Seattle with no fans is really odd to watch on TV.
There is no 12th man in Seattle.
It is odd, right? It feels weird. Pumped-in sound. The choice between to go with pumped-in sound and no pumped-in sound is kind of weird.
Somebody was, okay, I think it was the Steelers. The Steelers are going to let 12,000 fans in. So, Philadelphia, it was one or the other.
As COVID is going off the chain, right? So we're going to allow more fans as the virus is spreading worse. I'm not so sure I agree with that. But in the NFL, I expect nothing less.
They're going to let families sit together or families and friends sit together, but they're going to be way spaced out. So basically, they can basically come in and sit wherever they want, as long as they're not.
I guess I'm not here to judge. I suppose if you can do it logistically soundly, are vendors going to be open? Can you go buy a beer if you want to? How does any of that work? I have questions, but ultimately, I'm not really here to judge.
I have no idea how that works. I don't know. Bring your own.
Before we go into the place your bets, can we talk a little bit of basketball? Just a sous-sens of basketball?
Yeah.
Lassie Hayward, our best friend, opts out of $34 million because I think, I don't know, some other team is going to pay him $34 million. I have no idea why. But there's a lot of logistics that go on here. The Celtics may get something out of it still because they may have to do a sign and trade for him to make as much money as he probably wants to. Also, the Celtics tried to do a couple of trades. You mentioned to me off pod the James Harden possibilities. They had three number ones and they ended up drafting three guys and making a trade after the fact. But they did not get James Harden, and we may just get nothing for Hayward since he opted out. He has options. Only two teams like the Hawks and the Knicks could potentially afford him, but potentially we get left with nothing. And since we're over the cap and we let go of Enes Kanter in a minor trade also. So we are getting worse and the Bucks getting Drew Holiday are getting better. Does that concern you at all next year?
No, not at all. We got yams. We got yams.
We got the yam, but he's not going to play. You know, he's going to play overseas for a year. Tacos and yams in Boston for the foreseeable future.
That's right.
CP3 to the Suns did happen. We did mention it on the pod, so we drive the culture there. Would you have, let me ask you this question. Would you have been happy if Harden did come to the Celtics? We would have definitely had to give up a lot. It would have been Kemba. Kemba and Glassy. I'm not sure exactly how it would have worked, but I would assume Kemba wouldn't be there.
I don't think he's a team player. I really don't. I think
he's not a fit for our city. He's not a fit for Boston. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe this is addition by subtraction. Who knows?
I do want to talk before we get to the picks.
Matt Stafford's wife, dictatorship, doesn't want to wear a mask. No. Okay.
She's crazy.
Crazy town.
The NHL.
Yes.
Has announced that there is a new expansion team.
Yes.
And it's going to be in Seattle.
Yes, rightfully so. I agree with that city.
You know what they're called?
Please tell me. Educate me.
Release the Kraken.
What is the plural?
It's the Seattle Kraken.
Seattle Krakens.
No. Seattle Kraken.
Kraken is the plural.
Yes.
All right. So they all play under one individual Kraken. You know how I feel about these names that don't make sort of grammatical sense, but I'll allow it. The jersey's going to look great.
All right. So that's the NHL. And late breaking news. Major League Baseball has announced a new expansion team.
Oh, God. Please help us.
Nashville.
Nashville? Okay.
The Nashville Bulls? Stars. No, the Nashville Stars.
Nashville Stars. I kind of like it. I sort of am okay. I'm okay with it.
It was
sort of
a TV show.
There's a musical. Yeah, there's a musical thing there, and there's sort of a cowboy thing there. All right, I'll allow it. I don't hate it. The Kraken I have problems with.
I like the Kraken. I think the Kraken's going to be awesome. They're going to throw Kraken on the ice after hat tricks.
Yeah, right. What are they throwing on the ice? It's going to be gross. Feel bad for the Zamboni guy.
They're going to throw Liam Neeson dolls.
Very particular set of skills.
Unleash the Kraken.
All right, let's do place your bets.
All right, place those bets. Hit the music.
And now, folks, it's time for Who Do You Trust? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money. Who do you trust?
What's a casino? People gotta win sometimes.
Money, money, money.
You just cost me $6,000.
But nothing's predictable in this tough, harsh, highly competitive world where today's champion is tomorrow's crocodile shit.
Place your bets. All right, we're just going to talk about a couple of games on Sunday. The night game on Sunday is Kansas City at Las Vegas. Las Vegas beat the Chiefs earlier. Kansas City is -8 with the over-under being around 56.5. And then the Monday night game is the Rams at Tampa Bay. The Rams coming off a pretty big win there. The Rams are +4, which I'm not totally sure Vegas is on the money on there. And the over-under being 48.5. Any thoughts on those two games, Rob?
I'm just going to go over it. I'm going with the Chiefs. Chiefs with the over.
Chiefs are
going
to get their revenge here.
Yes.
The over 56.5, it's an awful lot of points. You're probably right, but I just don't want to, I want to stay away from that over under. I'm comfortable taking the Chiefs -8. I actually think, like, because where I live here in Vegas, there might be some money on Vegas. If you can get that number down to 7 or tease it to 7, maybe invest there. But I'm comfortable with the Chiefs, basically -8. I'll pick them also. What about that Rams game, though? I think that Rams +4 is enticing. Rams money line also enticing.
I'm taking the Rams.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I'm not so sure about Tampa's offensive line. And even though Antonio Brown did look a little bit better, they started getting on the same page there. I don't know if they have the running game just yet. We'll see how Fournette sort of shapes up, and Ronald Jones with a bad fumble the other week. So I'm not so sure. I like Rams +4. I still think the Rams are better than what they've played this year.
We'll see. But I'm just taking the Rams because I want to see Tom get beat again.
Yeah. You have no issue with the Patriots -2.5-ish at Houston?
Not at all.
Yeah, Pats are going to win and cover. Pats on the move right now. I don't know if they're good enough to sneak in based on how good the Dolphins and the Bills are, but I do like the Pats. Pats are on the move.
So now, folks, we're taking a 2-week break.
Turkey
the next
day.
Episode will
turkey
be in 2 weeks.
For me, turkey
so
for you.
We're going to talk about the Thanksgiving Day games.
Here we go. Thanksgiving locks of the week. Fabio.
Fabio, where are you?
First prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired.
All right. So this is a tough one, right? Because Thanksgiving games are wonky and always, as usual, because the Lions are always involved, the early game is a crap game. It is the Lions home to the Texans. There is no line because God knows what Matt Stafford's wife's going to do to Matt Stafford. So it's confusing, right? We don't exactly know what's going to go on there. But if you had to pick a team, I think the Texans could actually beat the Lions. I don't know why I think that. I just think Deshaun Watson on Thanksgiving makes sense that he would have a weird, random, great game there.
It's home in Detroit City.
That's correct. Yep.
I'm taking the Lions. I'm sorry.
All right. I do like Marvin Jones, but I'm not so sure about that team. That team with Matt Patricia. Romeo Crennel versus Matt Patricia, right? Kind of weird.
Hey.
That's a weird one. All right, so the second game is Cowboys home to the Washington fucking football team. Cowboys -1.5 there. That's the best line we could find. We assume Andy Dalton's going to be back, but we're not totally sure about that. I actually do think the Cowboys are going to turn it around just enough to win a few more games, and if I had to pick, I would take the Cowboys -1.5.
I'm taking the Washington football team, baby.
Healy, they played a little bit better, to be fair. So it's probably Alex Smith, and Antonio Gibson's played okay. You know what? Alex Smith chucking the ball around pretty good.
He is. He's not looking like Joe Flacco kind of Super Bowl MVP, but he is looking good.
Let me ask you this question. With his gruesome injury that he had, and, you know, they did that ESPN feature piece about his recovery, and now he did end up getting the starter. Obviously, Dwayne Haskins didn't quite work out. Would you go into next year if you were the Washington football team with Alex Smith being your number one guy? Would you give him that chance if he played well the rest of the year?
I would, because
still young enough.
I've seen what LT did to Joe Theismann, and they replayed that about 150 times.
Yeah,
so I've seen that, and medicine has evolved
improved
so much since that.
You don't have to just cut your finger off anymore.
No, you don't have to just, you know, sear your finger on a hot plate, you know.
We still use hot plates, but for something totally different. All right, so that last game, this last game is definitely the best game. So if you can stay awake after all that tryptophan, it is Steelers home to the Ravens. Steelers -3 is the opening line right there. I do think that line will move up. So if you want it, jump on it where you can bet on it. And if you're asking me, based on what I've seen the last few weeks, I think the Steelers, more so for the defense than the offense, can beat the Ravens. I would take the Steelers -3.
I'm taking the Steelers also.
Yeah. All right. So if you got to lock up one of these, Rob, what would be your lock here?
I'm locking the Steelers.
Me too. So we're both on the same page. By the way, you won another lock of the week. You are inching up at 3-6, and I lost the lock of the week. So I'm down to 4-5.
As the season goes on, the bets go higher and I make you more cash. So the Phantoms got their picks in.
Let's see what the Phantoms got. I'm interested to see what they want to do here.
Phantom is taking the Lions.
They like the Lions, too. So you guys both like the Lions. You're probably right about that. I just have this funny feeling Romeo is going to coach him up for one good one. Will Fuller, a couple touchdowns.
The Phantom is also taking the Washington fucking football team.
The fucking Washington football team. They're probably right. Obviously, the Washington's played better than the Cowboys. Cowboys are atrocious. I just think they're going to get their shit together. I don't know why I think that.
And the Phantom is also taking the Steelers.
Everybody's on the Steelers. This makes me nervous, actually, that we're all on the Steelers. Maybe I'll throw on the Ravens money line again. I'll just go the other way. We'll see what happens. Now, they're probably right. Steelers are just a better team, better offense. Let me ask you this question. Last one of the night. Steelers, undefeated. How long is that streak going to go for? They don't feel like a 16-0 type team, right? It's not like they're dominant.
It's not like they're dominant, but they're just playing teams that are coming in and just they're fighting teams that like to lose or find ways to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right about that, too. Yep. I feel like the Browns or somebody can knock them off. Something weird's going to happen. They're not. I think they're going to go like 11-0.
The Browns are projected to go 10-6 this year, the first time in forever.
And they play shitty, too. That last game was gross. The Texans had chances. They went for it on fourth down. That was just a wonky game. The Browns play teams that also find ways to lose. It's just a kind of a weird NFL year. And if you're a gambler, it's been a little tough on us out here in Vegas.
Well, you know, you get no fans. You got no one, at the slot machines either.
Yeah, yeah. Just a lot of Purell everywhere.
Fuck you. That's my name.
Well, I don't know about that, but that whole segment made me hungry.
For something good and decent. Let's say we hit a three-team parlay and we got a little cheese in our pocket.
So basically, the question is, this is for everybody out there, and you can question us on this as well at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
If money was no option, what would be that meal?
You have Fabio money in your account right now. And you're headed to dinner.
Fabio money with Ryan Gosling's looks.
Oh, we're skipping dinner. Right to dessert, baby. So this is money is no object. What is the meal of your choice? We're going to do what? 3-course? 4-course?
Whatever your heart desires. It could be you could order 500 freaking hot dogs for all I care.
No, I'm definitely not doing that. If money is like where it is in real life, I'll go with the hot dogs. But if money is no object,
gold-plated hot dogs.
gold-plated, so easy to chew. I expect you to die, Mr. Bond. What we'll do is I'm going to go 4-course, and I'm going to go white tablecloth, obviously. My first course is a very rich lobster bisque with a little sherry on top. That's what I'm starting with. You got a soup starter?
No soup.
All right, no soup for you? All right. My first appetizer, because I'm just going to come right out of the gate hot here, is a escargot in a portobello mushroom with a little garlic and a little butter on top, because I really love that dish, and I don't really order it that much.
Where are you? What kind of restaurant are you at?
This is a legitimate steakhouse, maybe old school Vegas steakhouse. Hugo Sellers, Four Queens, I don't know, somewhere over there. White tablecloth is all that really matters.
Isn't that where they have the steak dinner meal, four course for $7.95?
Me and Ray Liotta showed up and they made a table for us.
Okay. My appetizer is going to be oysters.
Oysters on a half shell. Always a classic. Yep. Okay. Oysters Rockefeller, by the way, very underrated. I wouldn't throw those off the table either if you heat them up just lightly.
However, because I have so much money to spend on this meal, I'm ordering them because I'm just going to waste them because I can't eat them.
Seafood Tower. I mean, if you're going to go all out and money's no object, get the Seafood Tower. That's a $100 thing right there.
King crab legs. Oh, yeah.
King crab, giant jumbo shrimp. Absolutely. Lump crab meat if you got it. A little bit of lobster, maybe a couple lobster tails on top. Cocktail sauces. Absolutely. Go for the Seafood Tower.
Yeah, that's definitely. I'll just do the Seafood Tower and then you can have the oysters.
So what are we doing on the main course side here?
All right. I've always wanted to do this. If money was no object and I could just buy whatever the hell I wanted, you're going to laugh at me for saying this, but I want the old 96er.
Oh, you want the 96er. You can't finish it. Don't even bother.
Dry aged.
It's got to be dry aged. Wagyu? You going with the Wagyu?
Wagyu.
Oh, it's all out. That's, I don't know how much money that is. That's a couple hundred dollars at least.
So the old 96er is going to be my meal.
Wow, the 96er Wagyu style. I'm going to go with a dry age also. I'm going to go with the dry age ribeye, which is not that crazy from what I normally get, but I'm going to go Oscar style with a lobster tail right on the side, or an add-on whole lobster if I'm on the East Coast, right? Just so I can have both sides of the aisle there. I truly want that. And I'm drinking Chateau Margaux, by the way, the entire fucking night.
I'm drinking
Johnny Walker Blue?
No. I'm drinking vintage Louis? Bourbon.
Oh, vintage bourbon. Such a gentleman. Such a gentleman.
I have a mint julep.
Yeah. So let's see. My meal probably comes out to around $350-ish if I do enough Margaux. I'd say your meal is more in the $400 to $450 range because you got the 96er going on.
Well, I didn't finish what I was going to have with the 96er.
Uh-oh, we have more? You're trying to break five bills now.
I want some ramps.
We'll take the check.
I want some ramps on the side, some sauteed ramps.
Okay. No shallot? No fancy shallot?
Maybe some fiddleheads, because fiddleheads are very rare.
Let's get some truffles. Let's get some truffles on the side.
Some hen of the woods mushrooms.
Anything French. We'll take anything French.
I don't like truffles. I don't like the smell of them.
You know what? I've had stuff where it's way too potent, and I've had stuff where it was sort of intermingled well. So I think it can go both ways. But if you're paying a lot of money and it's a 50-50 proposition, I'm not in love with it.
No, just so you know, you know the stuff that comes in the bottle when they say truffle oil is not real.
Yeah, it's not real truffles. Pigs aren't sniffing those out.
It's really a bad oil. I mean, you can cook with it if you want, but it just gives it a pungent, like, I don't know. It's just a weird smell.
There is a false advertising to truffle fries also, but I would concede that I do like them.
So what's your dessert?
Oh, dessert is tough. Really, I just want like an excellent espresso from a good espresso machine, and I want fresh cream Hugo Seller style. Like, I want the cream to be like cream on top of like a Danish slopped into my espresso so it can sort of slowly fizzle in. But if I'm choosing a dessert, I probably want something like a Bananas Foster. You know, to finish off something that spectacular, I want something a little flaming.
There was a place in Vegas. I'm not sure if it's still there. I think it's called Serendipity. 24 layer cake.
Too many? Too much? Do we overdo it?
And the reason why is because I have all this money. I'm just going to buy it. I'm not going to eat it, however. I'm going to buy it for the next table because I don't want to eat sweets.
Absolutely. Listen, if money is no object and the next table isn't bothering me too much, I'll get them a bottle of Silver Oak. How about that?
Not going to be like the Blues Brothers, you know, at the restaurant, you know, much for the little girl.
Yeah. No, we're classy here. We're going all classy. That's a pretty good meal, I would say. So your bill, yeah, I'd say your bill beats my bill, but we're both doing well. Maybe a three-teamer is not quite enough to pay for us.
No, I would have to hit like the lottery or something.
Yeah.
Hit on a slot machine.
Are you one of those guys, if you hit the lottery, you're gone forever? We're never going to see you again?
No.
No? You're divvying it out to the family?
No, I wouldn't tell anybody I had it. I would continue to work. All right. Do you have any shout outs after that huge meal?
Absolutely. So my tummy is full. And what do I need to wind down from a hefty meal? I need Talking Flick, talkingflick.com. The Wolverine pod is out. The Last Crusade pod is coming. But we snuck in Mando, the Mandalorian episode. So check us out. We're getting a lot of good feedback from it. Talking Flick, talkingflick.com.
Awesome. And once again, people, you can get us at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Or at our Twitter, which is Nick and Rob E2W. That's at Nick and Rob E, the number two W.
E, number two, W, can't say it.
Well, folks, once again, if you love us, tell a friend. If you like us, rate us.
Rate us. Tell a friend. Thank you for the feedback. Great feedback on the Sean Connery episode. We appreciate all the fans.
And everybody, have a great night. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Special time.
Love to eat turkey, because it's good.
Turkey for me. Turkey for you.
RealWatchBilly.com at RealWatch. Shouts.
Peace.
Uncle Bookie has set a new Jeopardy record, beating Sean Connery's old record.